Okay, we are back on the record. I think at this point, DCD was going to offer some rebuttal.
Yes, and I will begin.
If you could state your name again.
And I'm Scott Diener.
And you remain under oath.
Yes. So I will address some of the land use concerns that we heard, and then Dave will talk about some of the other life safety permit and application issues. There was reference to a first CUP that did not go forward. So the background on that is that in 2012, we were made aware of the event operating without any sort of review or permits. And so we did a site visit. Myself, Dennis Ose, Jeffrey Mack went out and advised the applicant that he needed to get conditional use permit approval for the operation, as well as permits. The applicant then applied for a home business and an ACUP, believing that this was not something that rose to the level of a conditional use permit, but rather was more administrative in nature. We disagreed, and they appealed, that determination was appealed to the hearing examiner, and the hearing examiner found in favor of the county, which required a CUP to be applied.
And that resulted in the 2014
And that resulted in the 2014 application. So that's some of the earlier background that I didn't really feel was too terribly relevant for what we were talking about today. There was also reference to Dennis Ose advising that certain things were okay to be done or not to be done. We have no real way of perhaps validating that. But even if there was something that Dennis said could be avoided, staff has or does not have the ability to alter code nor conditions of approval that were given through code or code processes, such as a hearing examiner approval. So we hope that didn't occur, and we hope that that does not occur today because it doesn't carry any weight. There was some discussion about the August 25th visit by DCD where we observed a couple people in the home. It's also important to note that we arrived rather early. The caterers were still setting up, but it's also, I think, interesting to note that there was a guest signature book out in front of the doorway to the house, and there was nobody that was sort of gatekeeping, if you will, the house, so that anybody who was arriving could go into the house. So to us, that indicated that going into the in and out of the house was sort of free to do as you wish. There was some discussion about the SDAP permit for parking. In a nutshell, we, based on an earlier hearing examiner decision, sought affirmation from the Department of Ecology that permitting activities wouldn't be needed for grass parking lots, and we got that relatively recently. And so that was something that we advised the applicant was no longer an issue for DCD. There was also reference to statements that I had made that we could just get rid of the calendar. That was, I think, taken out of context. When Dave and I were on site on November 14th, I advised that DCD does not like to be in the business of monitoring the number of events that occur for these kinds of businesses. And that if we were to look at a modification to the CUP, either a minor modification or a major modification, that's something that could be considered and that DCD would consider. So it's not something that we can get rid of today, but if the applicant wanted to look at a future application where we weren't monitoring or calendaring these events, DCD would be willing to consider that. And I think that's all that I have.
David Lynham, again in rebuttal.
And you remain under oath.
Yes, ma'am. I think it's important to remember with this application, the process started as a code compliance action well before 2012. And our code compliance in 2012, as it is today, runs on complaints. We received complaints about what was going on at the venue. It was something that we didn't know about until 2012, and somebody complained about it, which prompted us to get involved. The business, I don't know how long it was going before 2012, but we had some very real concerns about using these buildings for other than the residents that they were originally designed for. And as Scott stated earlier, the department really wants to support people in these type of venues, and sometimes we're sorry for doing that, and maybe that's what the case is today, is that the business just expanded well beyond what the original permission in the conditional use permit allowed. There are avenues to address that. If the applicant would like to do a modification, there are avenues for that to be out there, but clearly we are well beyond what we had originally envisioned for this. As far as staff responsiveness, Mr. Kepperberg mentioned that he had asked at least twice in emails for Kim Dunn, and I would like to follow up on that because we have been very responsive. So I would ask Mr. Kepperberg to provide those as exhibits if he wishes us to consider that. But we have been responsive, and as Mr. Kepperberg said, every time he came in, we had answers for him. We had things to do, and we were very specific in writing, telling Mr. Kepperberg what needed to be done for him to come into compliance. And over a period of several years, we are not any closer today to being in compliance than we were back in even 2014. The applications that Mr. Kepperberg referred to, it is my understanding, and I haven't verified it, that there is an application in for the detached garage. It is not in place. It is an application. The process that we use is that if it is not technically complete, if additional information is required of the applicant, they're notified so, and if we don't receive that within 21 days, the application is dropped. Perhaps that's what occurred in the past because we have gone to electronic. And I don't know whether or not the application that has been submitted is sufficient for us to review. Clearly, the events that are happening consume the house. And Mr. Kepperberg is my understanding that he builds homes, and he is probably very familiar with the provisions of the International Residential Code. And I always like it when builders do some study on the code. But it's a vast difference between the International Residential Code, which is a single-family dwelling, and the requirements of the International Building and International Fire Code, which has elevated requirements and degrees of safety because you're bringing people into these buildings that have never been there before. They are not the owners of this, and they expect it to be safe. I mentioned earlier about the photo ops that occur on the deck. It's a great place to have a photo op. We're very concerned about the weight restrictions and the construction of that deck, for one. There's a number of things. Once you turn this into a commercial operation, instead of the outdoor venue that was originally approved, we start out with requirements for access to the site for emergency responders. My understanding is that you've been to the site. It is a circuitous route. It's back and forth. It's switchbacks, and it's maybe 10 feet wide. It's almost enough to make someone car sick driving all the way down to the site. That does not meet minimum requirements for access for fire department or even for emergency medical response. A commercial occupancy requires provisions for fire flow. There isn't any fire flow there. The requirements to use these buildings for commercial use have different exiting requirements. They have different landing requirements. They have different stairway requirements. They require compliance with the accessibility requirements, which are absolutely critical to continued operation and use of these buildings. The provisions that we're talking about here, there's a number of things that could happen with this building. And all of them, except for changing them to a commercial use, probably aren't going to work with the provisions of the International Fire and Building Codes. It's not a matter of occupancy. entirely. It begins with a matter of use. What are you using the building for? And that's what's prompted our recent discussion with Mr. Kipperberg. What do you want this to be? The buildings are not approved. He did submit the four plans that he referred to are shown in Exhibit 8 that we give you, and there are prior sketches of when the building was originally built. They do not meet the minimum requirements for our plans examiners to be able to do an evaluation. We don't have any beam calculations. We don't have any engineering calculations. It was originally approved for storage. There's a vast difference with the energy code now to having heated spaces. The use of the house has dramatically expanded, and our original discussion with this was that the rooms above the garage would be used for the bride and groom to change in. We didn't discuss changing in the house. We were very cautious of using the house because it doesn't meet minimum safety requirements for a business. Incidental uses could be accommodated, and our reservation at the time was that the incidental uses would grow, and unfortunately they have. This is a great opportunity for the Kipperbergs at the site, but if they want to do anything other than what was originally approved, they're going to have to modify everything. I know that Mr. Kipperberg has an application in, but the department has no reasonable expectation based on our history of the last 4 years that allowing the use to continue without compliance first, we have very little confidence that can happen, and that's why we're asking for complete revocation of this permit at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Does DCD have anything else at this time? Okay. Mr. Kipperberg, did you have anything else that you wanted to provide today or address?
Yes, I do.
And you state your name again.
Josiah Kipperberg.
And you remain under oath.
What was that?
You remain under oath.
Yes. So going back to Scott Diener's site visit with Jim, as far as seeing the doors open. Prior to the event, start of the event, we close the doors, and that's why the guest book's on the outside. And there's usually somebody from the family directing people which way to go after they sign the guest book. So usually the house is closed up. As far as the inside use, we haven't changed our business model from the beginning. But if it doesn't meet current criterias or current codes, I'm more than willing to just apply for those and get those through. The reason why this takes so long is I'm just always confused of what I'm supposed to get, how I'm supposed to get it. As I said prior, Scott Diener and Dave Lyman, the last few months have been clear, precise, and I think we're going to have a good working relationship knowing exactly what's required. We've got some of the other issues out of the way. As far as recycling, the habitat management plan, the parking, some of the turnouts. We've got those things done. But I think now just moving forward, as a business perspective, if you can allow us to continue to stay in business, I think we as a team can work together with Scott Diener, Dave Lyman, and staff to address any of these issues. And yes, there's going to be some hurdles that are going to be difficult, but both of them, they know the codes. Better than anybody else that I've seen staff besides Jim. I've not worked with Jim that often, but I think it'll be easy to move forward and get those things done. As far as the dressing rooms, those have always been inside, and I believe it's on the staff report prior to the first CUP that is the case. I could be wrong, but the living units above the garage, those are just discontinued. They're not being used, but I think we can get those into compliance as well, knowing the hiccups with the county's website, knowing what I'm supposed to get. because I was told that I did not need engineering because it was built in 2003. Now I can easily get engineering depending on the scope of what needs to be done. And also some of the part of the application requires some stormwater, some other issues for land use, but it doesn't affect the actual land use due to that it's existing building and nothing, the outside structure hasn't changed. So it's only the internal structure. So the reason why some of those permits come back and they're asking for more information is because on the actual application on the website, you have to fill something in, and I just don't, we don't have any issues to deal with stormwater or outside the building. And Kim Dunn was clear from that, from the beginning on that. But to actually apply in a way where it is not confusing is difficult through the website. And now you can't work with staff in building to discuss or write on the plans or any changes. It's all got to be online. Back in the day, you used to be able to pull out a red pen, mark what didn't need to be done, submit it, and it just made things way easier. Now with it all being online, it's so confusing to really apply. So, but I think going forward, I think we can address these issues. So I think we should be able to make it work.
Okay. Anything else from you today?
I do have, I guess, a witness.
Okay.
If he could have some time to address some of his concerns from the neighbors.
Yeah, as long as it is directed to the enforcement piece and it's not, because this isn't a hearing like the conditional use permit where you're talking about compatibility issues and material detriment, and it's there's just broader criteria. But as long as the testimony is focused on kind of the enforcement piece of it and the concerns that have been raised by DCD, then yes, of course.
Okay.
So if he wants to step forward, I mean, he could either perhaps use that microphone, or we have an working microphone up here at the podium, so.
When would we like to do that?
Oh, you could just come forward to your witness,
okay,
here to the podium.
Do it now.
Yeah. If,
okay.
Yeah. I just need to make sure that his testimony is in a microphone so it's recorded. And I think it's right here by the podium. Is that microphone on?
Okay. You'll get all my props here.
That's fine. Take your time. Let me swear you in, though.
Sure.
If you could state your name for the record.
Douglas Soule.
Douglas Soule. Could you spell that?
S-O-U-L-E.
S-O-U-L-E. Mm-hmm. And you swear to tell the truth today.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
So let me just give you my why I'm here. First of all, I'm probably the closest neighbor to the Kipperbergs. I've been there for 10 years. I know the Kipperbergs is one of the most outstanding people and family that I've ever met. And I became involved in helping out on this wedding business back probably in 2012 when it first became an issue, because the county requirements were now for things that I had responsibilities for. So, for instance, I'm the head of the road maintenance group of the community, so I was able to get the easements done. I was able to get all of the neighbors that have access from Banner Road all the way down to the Kipperberg's house to sign and have notarized their approval and their, not only approval, but their desire for the Kipperbergs to have a successful business at the bottom of the hill for the wedding business. That's all in the county records, notarized and recorded. So I've had some interaction that way. But then as things came along, Josiah was getting frustrated with a lot of different, inputs. What do I do? What am I supposed to do here? What's really real here? And I also observed in our community both really disappointing and really some very rewarding actions from the county. So I'll talk about the rewarding one. The county was very, good and helpful, helping the community pave the road. That's a county unmaintained road. And they were very good about that, and we have a nice paved road now. And it went through so easily, and the cooperation was so great, it was great. On the other hand, both the Jake property and the Kipperberg property adjoin Anderson Point Park. And you probably don't have much as a hearing examiner background on this, but it was a big local issue here in King County, or in Kitsap County, because this donated park to the county had some caveats that went along with it. For instance, the county had agreed verbally to take over control of the road and access to the road to the park, and to do the maintenance and upkeep to the park. But they failed to do that. So they didn't do the maintenance for the stormwater, so we had landslides on that park. And it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to get that fixed out of taxpayers' dollars. Not only that, but they just shut it off and abandoned it, basically, after those landslides, and it became a haven for homeless people and drug addicts.
So some of the background's fine for this,
okay,
but
so
we need to keep it.
So how does that impact the Kipperbergs? Because now these drug addicts are walking through their property to get out of the park, okay, because of mismanagement of that park by the county. And not only that, but when the Kipperbergs apply for their wedding business, et cetera, they start getting inappropriate comments on Facebook about they're using the park for their weddings, they're doing this, they're doing that with the weddings at the park, okay, which is all false. I just bring that up because it took the community on Millie Hanna to sue the county to get resolution for those problems, because the county refused to do what they had said they were going to do.
And I have no jurisdiction
okay.
over any park
I understand
issues.
That. What I'm seeing here is I see the good and the bad from the county. I feel that what's going on with the Kipperbergs is disappointing as well, because of coordination of information, requirements that seem to be excessive. And I will use a couple things, in fact, and refute a statement that was just made here a minute ago. Okay. In 2012, 2014, the hearing in 2014 had a lot of emphasis on the parking lot, the leased parking lot, which is a grass field. Now, several surveys had been done. Engineers had taken looks at that. Everybody had provided the county with their opinion that it was perfectly fine. It needed no water mitigation, okay? But the county was bound and determined they were going to take this, and it was part of the hearing, okay? And at the hearing, basically it was decided that the parking lot was just fine. It didn't need any water mitigation. Yet, here we go again. It gets brought up again in a memo dated March 7th of this year.
I don't believe that the parking issues are before me.
Huh?
I don't believe parking conditions related to parking are before me.
Well, let
this.
Me read this memo, okay?
Is that an exhibit?
Huh?
Is that an exhibit that you have there?
It could be.
Did you wish to add it to the record?
Sure,
or?
Why not?
Okay.
There's
another
one.
How many copies
there's
do you
another
have?
One that should go before this that's even more inflammatory that I don't have copies.
Mr. Kipperberg, did you want to have these? Let me refer back to you. Was it your intention to add additional documents to the record?
There are a few, but I'm not sure that the ones that he's talking about. Until he reads them, I don't know what he has.
If you are going, actually, why don't we take a short break so you can look at if there are any other additional exhibits that you want to add. If you could make a call on that, and then we'll need to get a copy for DCD, and then I'll need a copy if you're going to add it. You don't have to, but if they are going to be added, then DCD would need to have an opportunity.
Okay. Would it be beneficial to hear them first to see if they're even important to add?
Yeah, that's why I take a recess so you can take a look, because it sounds like you don't know what they are. And I caution, too, I mean, if they're not relevant to any of the – because what's before me is in a – it's as I mentioned earlier, this is not the CUP. It's specific conditions in the CUP. And so if the documents have nothing to do with the compliance or noncompliance with the conditions, then they wouldn't be relevant, so they wouldn't be admissible.
Okay. What I think he's maybe trying to do is paint just a broader picture on why some of these
And providing some background is fine, and so if we don't need to admit the exhibits because they're not relevant, okay, and you just wish to continue, that's fine. So I just want to get clarification on that.
Yeah, I'll quickly take a look.
So okay. Basically, it was the Kippenbergs were informed in the spring, which is a few months just before the opening of their events, of course, that the county still does not agree with hearing examiner's decision made in 2014 concerning the water mitigation of the parking lot, and that they're continuing to pursue all efforts to find information that can prove their case. Okay. And it states here that what this means is that DCD reserved the right to revisit the matter as noted in the original CUP approval, we will be seeking more information to prove our case, basically. So two more engineers are hired, more money is expended. The engineers come up with the same conclusion. They provide that, and this is his response to the engineer, basically saying, I know the county still disagrees with you, engineer. Fred, his name is. But there was a hearing set up. I think I'm correct in this. There was a hearing set up to address this and another issue, and the county decided that because it could not find any substantial information after a very thorough search to try to prove their point, they canceled the hearing. Okay? It just doesn't seem to me that is in the spirit and the interest of the comprehensive plan of the county. The comprehensive plan for rural land use, I have it right here somewhere.
I'm familiar with the okay. county's comprehensive basically plan, says, but there's no question on comp plan consistency that's before
basically
me.
Basically says that it encouraged these kind of businesses, and they want to help these kind of businesses. But the actions that I see coming out of them tend to contradict that. Not always, but sometimes. Okay. And it bothers me. It bothers me that extra money and effort and problems that they don't even have any control of, like going to computerized permitting system where all the permits drop out of the system, causes a lot of problems. Okay, it's very difficult. If you look at all the requirements of this small business, which is a seasonal business of 3 months or 4 months, to meet all the requirements and to have a viable business, especially when the county will come down, can come down, and has come down, and refuse to let them have a website or do any advertising or anything during the year, because it takes two, they can be booking for 2 years of effort to fill this kind of business. This is a unique business. You get people planning their weddings years in advance. It's not like, you know, they're calling a month before to get something scheduled. So I just think that a lot is being made over things that could be rectified easily, quite honestly, okay? And I think that the county in some ways, and Dennis Ost, I know I worked with him, with Josiah, and he was trying to follow county rules as well, but he also was able to think outside the box a little bit, to think, okay, how can this be done and still meet the requirements? And that's what I'm not seeing now. Okay, it's just these are the requirements. They gotta fulfill these requirements. There's no outside the box. So, I'm not saying there isn't shared blame here. Quite honestly, I think that there are some things that Kippenbergs probably could have done better. The bathrooms. In particular, where they went ahead and did the bathrooms. But I have to tell you, if I had submitted permits for this to expand the bathroom area, if I had done that and those permits were sitting there not being having any action taken, then they got dropped because of the county problem with the computer, et cetera, and I knew that Bill and Melinda Gates were going to be at one of my weddings here pretty quick, that Bill may want to come in and use his computer inside the house on the sofa during the wedding workup, that I would be kind of inclined to want to have that bathroom in place. you know, and flirt with the rules and suffer the consequences on that. Because I've done my diligence. I've put in the plans, but the county's not acting on it. Okay? With respect to the ADUs, you know, if I'm a homeowner and I've got this situation where I've got to have some income here. In order to stay in my property, in my house, my beautiful house, I've got to have some extra income. How do I get that? Okay, the wedding business is one area, but they have the potential maybe to rent out a room above the garage if it meets code. I understand that's a problem. Okay, didn't know anything about that before. Okay, but you know it's got to meet code. But you got a decision to make. Okay, if it says in your 2014 hearing that you can't use that building, okay, because you haven't satisfied the ADU requirements to tear out all of the plumbing and the bathrooms and get rid of the bedrooms upstairs and all this other stuff, you think to yourself, hey, if they don't let me do my wedding business here because they find an excuse not to let me do it or there's a good reason for it, I still maybe have a potential to rent out a room because it's in place. So my decision is, do I tear everything out just to make it look like, you know, I'm totally bare and conforming to all the rules of the game here? Or do I just say it's not in use and I don't use it and I leave it in place just in case I need it later? I mean, the idea is don't use it. It's not that there's a bedroom up there. It's that you don't use it. And that's kind of where we are here. We're not thinking outside the box a little bit. I mean, what's real? If you're not using it, you're not using it. It doesn't matter whether there's a sink in there or not, or a bathroom, okay? So there's shared blame, but I have some solutions here. It just seems like good cooperative common sense, workable solutions exist to these problems. I think that what I hear from him and his family, they want to do what they need to do to keep their business running for a few more years. They don't want to do this forever. They just want a few more years so that they can build the finances that they need to stay in their place. It seems like if the deck is identified as probably a structural hazard, maybe, like you say, then get it tested. And get it rectified and get it approved. If it's difficult, if it's really difficult to manage people coming in and out of the building, then maybe find some verbiage that defines what's called assembly, because that's how it's referred to in the previous commissioner's or previous hearing in 2014 as assembly is not allowed in the house. Well, what is assembly? Okay, that's something you can work out. You can decide. Do those two rooms that are now being used for the groom and the bride, are they really that big a deal because they're separate individual rooms that there's not a whole lot of people in that house to do that? Can't the scope of that wedding business be changed just a little bit to accommodate that? As long as they don't violate fire codes and all these other things, okay? As long as they're in compliance with the codes, that's fine. The bathrooms, okay. The bathrooms outside, they're in the building, they're in the garage, but they're 12 feet of space on concrete right at the edge of the garage. It's not like they're going upstairs into any of the structure at all. They're not placing any load on the house at all by going on that concrete. And if they're willing to put in a septic system to take advantage of to accommodate all of this stuff, why not be flexible enough to work with this and exclude just the bathroom from that garage area and say that's okay? Follow me? Seems like there are simple solutions that can allow them to have a business without having an all or none burden placed on them. And that's what I'd like to see from the county. Some realistic, cooperative thinking about how do we make this happen instead of how do we not make this happen attitude.
Anything else, Mr. Kipperberg?
I don't think we need to add any exhibits.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything further from DCD on this? Or did you need a moment to confer? Yeah, why don't we take this time a really short recess, maybe about no more than 5 minutes.